This is Guy Frankel, and this is the Partners for Progressive Israel podcast. Today, I'll be talking to a member of the Knesset, Tamar Zandberg. Tamar ran in the 2013 national elections and got the sixth seat on the merit slate. In the recent primaries, she received the fifth seat on the slate. She's a former parliamentary assistant to Ron Cohen of Meretz, and she was also a Tel Aviv City Council member for Meretz, where she dealt with housing and public transportation. In 2011, she also helped lead the social protests, and she is a self-described feminist. So thank you, Tamar, for joining us this morning.
Sure, thank you. Hi, everybody.
Now, Tamar, a few weeks ago, I attended a Meretz event where you talked about feminism, and you mentioned that it was like a swamp, but in a good way, and I'm hoping that I translated that correctly. I wanted you to go a little bit into that, what you meant by that specifically, and expand on your definition of feminism.
Well, I'm not sure what this quote exactly meant in that specific context, but what I usually describe feminism as a struggle that doesn't end, or that, and if I remember correctly, I was asked by one of the participants, whether, till when will we have to struggle, till when will we have to fight? And I said, you know, the more we get achievements and the further we proceed in this struggle, it seems like it gets longer and longer, because there are more and more obstacles and more challenges that we have to face. And I think this is true to any social, political, or other struggle. We keep fighting, and the more achievements we get, the more we find out there are more to come. And, you know, it's just a way of living. It's not one struggle that has a beginning and an end.
What got you into feminism in the first place? Was it something that happened? Was there a trigger event that occurred when you were younger? Was it a gradual process? Was there something that happened and made you think, okay, this is what I want to do with my life?
I must say that I consider myself, I'm a feminist because I'm a social activist, and vice versa. I fight for justice and for equality to all, and that means Jews and Arabs, and that means men and women, and that means poor people and more privileged people, etc. So when we find a place or a spot where there's a wrongdoing or something that is unjust, we fight to correct it. And feminism is one of those places.
What was the attitude, I guess, of your family and friends when you were growing up? I mean, I know that your mother is a journalist,
mm-hmm.
and she works for Haaretz, and she's in, I believe it's arts and culture.
Right.
And so, I guess, growing up in that culture, did she deal with these types of stuff as well? I mean, I guess at the time, and to a certain degree that's still the case, journalism is and was still sort of a quote-unquote man's world. Did she ever have to deal with that? Did that influence you as well? And did you feel that as a result of seeing what she was going through, that you could really sympathize with her?
First of all, my mother is the architecture critic for Haaretz for something like 25 years. And of course, I'm very proud of her. And I think she has an amazing career. And definitely that influenced me when I was growing up. I think more in looking at her than in her, you know, preaching or teaching me something like that. I'm not sure that, I don't know if my mother describes herself as feminist or something like that, but I think that, of course, I absorbed a lot of her, not just the way she managed her career, but more her way of thinking and the way she looks at the world and criticizes many things. Of course, that influenced me. She's my mother. But I do believe that for me, it's one whole perception or a way of looking at the world, which a feminist is one part of. I'm considering myself, first of all, a social activist, and that in a way dictates, or this is a broader umbrella to all my, to me being a feminist, an environmental activist, etc., and of course a peace activist.
Does the term feminist, does it have, because in America it's sort of taken on a very negative, that specific term, quote-unquote feminist, in some quarters has a negative connotation. And it sort of, the definition has been exaggerated to the point where it means something that it may not necessarily mean what people would call themselves feminists. They probably wouldn't define themselves as the way in which many people use that term. Does it have that negative definition here? And do people sort of try to exploit it because they don't want to deal with the real issues in Israel?
Yes, there is also a negative connotation here. I'm not sure it's that severe, it's that harsh, but it exists. Yes, I think, you know, for it became like a cliche, like a joke for a woman to say about herself, I'm not a feminist, you know, and in that way to, in a way, disregard the amazing achievements of the feminist movement over the years. If we look just 100 years ago, in all countries in the world, women couldn't vote in elections. They couldn't go to universities. They couldn't work. And they were considered, in some places, legally, and in some places just, you know, in the society, as a possession of men. And I think that changed tremendously, and this is the credit has to go to the feminist movement and to all the brave women that led it during the years. So I don't feel I have the privilege to distance myself from those amazing women and from this amazing movement. I think we all as women owe so much to the feminist movement. And I think the fact that it got a negative connotation is because many people would like to deny those achievements and maybe deny the achievement that still has to be achieved. And I think any person that believes in equality, in justice, should either define him or herself as feminist or join in solidarity and identify with that, so we break the negative connotation, because it's a false stereotype.
Now, speaking of dirty words, another word that I think a lot of progressives have a problem with, and that we progressive Jews and supporters of Israel have to deal with, is the term Zionism. And Zionism amongst a lot of the left in the world has taken on a very, very negative connotation. It's turned into a word that denotes people who are racist, who are fascist, who are colonialist, or imperialist, etc., etc. How do you, as an Israeli and a progressive, how do you deal with that? You know, when you go to Europe, do you have to explain your case, or do you feel comfortable talking about these issues? Do you feel there's a lot of pushback, and do you think that it's sort of similar in the way the word feminism has been hijacked in such a way that it means something completely different now?
Okay, first of all, to your former question, I was going to say that this is not the only negative connotation that people have with my or our mutual self-determination. I'm not sure. I would add lefty before I would, as a word that has negative connotation. I'm used to being called a traitor, someone who works against my own country's and my own people's interest, because I believe in peace and because I believe in social justice and because I believe in left ideology, and I belong to a party who defined itself as a left-wing party, and we are proud of it rather than ashamed, even though many people would like us to be ashamed. You probably saw the horrible video clips by Prime Minister Netanyahu. Imagine how high it got. You know, it's not just a marginal group, it's the Prime Minister himself, and another one from a marginal group of settlers calling us traitors and thinking the Nazis are about to make us commit suicide. And you know, it's that bad, the incitement, and it's not negative stereotypes, it's just, you know, blunt lies. And the same goes to your question. You know, we are used to being called in names from all parts of the political spectrum. My answer to all of them is, we are the ones who believe in a better future and work every day to make Israel a good place to live in, an equal, just, prosperous, peace-seeking country, to make the fathers and mothers of Zionism proud of us. This is our mission, this is our journey, and we're determined to make it happen.
What is your biggest accomplishment in the last Knesset? Any law specifically that you passed, that you tried to pass? And if you make it into the next Knesset, what do you hope to achieve? And what is Meretz's main focus hopefully going to be?
Okay, so first of all, for Meretz, I'm proud to say that there is no one main focus. We are, as I said before, a left-wing, a progressive party, meaning we have all those issues on our agenda, from human rights and women's rights and, of course, gay rights, and, of course, seeking for peace and fighting against the Israeli refusal to pursue the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, which we believe that this refusal and the Israel's going after the settler movement instead of the interests of all the citizens of Israel is one of the biggest dangers to the mere existence of our living here, speaking of Zionism and speaking of what is the threat and what is a potential opportunity. And of course we fight for social justice and housing and etc. For me specifically, I think I would mark my biggest, you know, one topic, one issue is, in Hebrew we call it fraternity leave, like maternity leave is a leave for fathers to join the mothers after the birth in the first 8 days and help them start their new family together as a family without the mother staying, of course, at home because she just gave birth, and the father has to go back to work. We think this is a huge wrong reality that should be fixed, and this has a lot to do with future inequalities and wrong allocation between labor and home and etc. I also am active in many environmental and sustainability issues. One of them is transportation and public transportation, which is in a huge gap from all other countries in the world and all other urban concentrations. And I think if we want to push Israel to be one of the truly developed countries in the world, it goes through public transportation, because otherwise we will be years and decades behind. So this is something that I take under my on my plate.
Is there anything, any law specifically that didn't pass and you're very disappointed about? I believe you did talk about the surrogacy law when you spoke in Jerusalem.
Yeah, this is a huge issue that in which our feminist agenda and our pro GLBT agenda might have some kind of, not a clash or a contradiction, but a challenge, I would say. And yes, our platform, our agenda is to fight for equal rights to all couples, to all colors and you know, all ways and all means of people who love each other, and doesn't matter what kind of gender or orientation. As you know, in Israel, one of the huge challenges for that is the fact that state and religion are not separated from each other, and the rabbinical institution have a monopoly over marriage and divorce, which makes it so much harder for many heterosexual couples like myself, because I'm not willing, from ideological reasons, to go to the Rabbanut, so I'm not allowed to get married in Israel. But of course, for other Jewish people from other religious streams, like Reform, Conservative, etc., and also gay and lesbian couples who are prevented from getting married in Israel.
Now, when we look at the polls, we see fluctuating numbers. We see Meretz drop to 4, up to 6, up to 7, and during the war in the summer, Meretz reached 10 seats, which is really interesting because we also saw a lot of incitement during that time, and we also saw quite a few of the right-wing parties reaching new heights as well in terms of the mandates that they received. I think Naftali Bennett's party was predicted to have received 19 seats. So why do you think that Meretz received, according to these polls, so many seats during the summer, during the war, and what has happened since then?
Well, I think that Meretz got a tremendous positive credit during the last 2 years, including last summer during the war, for being the most, you know, straightforward, honest, active party that in Hebrew we say whose mouth and heart are equal. I don't know if there's an expression like that in English, because we say what we mean and we do what we say, and we are totally transparent on that respect. And I think our public gave us credit for that, and the polls went up. And that is despite the fact that we were, or maybe because the fact that we were very honest also about our criticism for the war, and we refused to join the consensus and maybe the national feeling that, you know, a lot of times when there is war, people are, you know, they say, okay, shut up, no criticism right now. And we feel this is our duty, even in times like that, to raise our voice and say our truth, that many times, and also in this time, eventually turns out to be that we were right. And, you know, many generals and even right-wing politicians, after the war ends, say what we said from the beginning. So I think the public gives us credit for that. I think the reason why we lost some of that alleged support in the polls since then is not because our position, but because the political situation, where a lot of people who would like to see a change in government and would like to see Herzog replacing Netanyahu, wrongly thinking that they should go and support Herzog instead of Meretz. And our message in this election campaign is aimed specifically at these people, saying to them, Meretz is the base of the Herzog political support. Herzog will not have an alternative government without Meretz, without a strong and influential Meretz, because Meretz belongs to the bloc of Herzog. And Meretz, even I would say, she's a guard to that bloc, to make that bloc a real alternative, rather than, or maybe I would say it this way, without Meretz, Herzog and Livni are potential partners in Netanyahu's government. And that is something we will not like to see, and our supporters wouldn't like to see that. So this is a very important message. Our mission is to convince the people in that message. Tzipi Livni was the first one to join Netanyahu's government, and even Buzi Herzog was a minister in the former Netanyahu's government. And our position is to say to our voters, to people who define themselves as left-wing, who would like to see another alternative to Israel in all aspects, diplomatic, economic, etc., your option is Meretz. Meretz is the left-wing party, and don't make the same mistake. Vote for the center, and you might find yourselves in the right-wing government.
But it seems that we've been here before. I mean, 2013 wasn't the only time that this happened. I believe that it also happened in 2009.
That's true.
And it happened numerous other times. So why do people continue to make this mistake, even though they... I mean, shouldn't they anticipate by now that things will be different, or excuse me, they won't be different? Why do they continue to vote in such a fashion that would lead to, you know, either a unity government or a government that's led by the right with sort of tacit left wing support?
Mm-hmm. I think that the reason why it happens is because people would like to see a change so badly. They feel that Netanyahu's government has made so much damage. And I hear that in the street, people saying, we cannot take it anymore. We cannot go for another 4 years with Netanyahu. We have to do whatever we can to kick him out, okay? I would say it in a street language, because people say that. And our mission is to convince them that, you know, for people who come from American politics, for example, it's very easy to see the bipartisan, you know, bi-block. You're either a Republican or a Democrat. It's only two parties. It's very easy. It's either that or that. In Israel, it's a multi-partisan, and it's harder to look at the block. It's harder to see from the polls and from all the talk about that in the media, etc. It's hard to see that Meretz is part of the bloc, is part of the left-wing bloc. Actually, it's the only sure part there. We say that a vote for Meretz is a vote in the safe, because it's you actually, when you vote to Meretz, you get a double vote, because first you vote for the Herzog government, and second you vote against Netanyahu's in the right-wing government. So you can be sure that this is a vote that would go to an alternative government, but if that doesn't happen, this is a vote that would not, under no circumstances, find itself in a unity or a right-wing government. And that is something you cannot say about a vote to Herzog-Livni or any other party.
When I attended the Times of Israel event, mm-hmm. quite a few of the people on the panel from across the political spectrum talked about gay marriage, and they supported it quite enthusiastically, which is great. And I'm sure they're very sincere. And I also, by the way, think it's very interesting that even in the Likud, which is considered a right-wing party, you do have people who I think, like Gideon Sal, who I think says that he supports gay marriage, and I mean, in the U.S., you wouldn't necessarily see that. You know, there's much more of a tendency to say I'm right-wing, and therefore I'm anti-gay marriage, although that is changing as well. From the face you just made, do you think that a lot of this is just sort of trying to drum up political support, or is it really sincere? Or if it's sincere, do these people really, will they act on this support?
First of all, I think that, as you said, we shouldn't take it for granted. I think it's important that the discourse develops in Israel, and that many politicians cannot anymore allow for them to be perceived or to say that they don't support. I think for itself it's important that many politicians feel like they have to support at least, you know, in a declarative manner. So I think it's an important development. I think it shows that the gay rights discourse is more mature, that many parties and many politicians feel that they have to declare support. But we have to watch very, very carefully and distinguish between declarations and between real actions. Meretz is the only party that declares in its platform, it is written, that we support. In Israel, this issue of gay marriage has a lot to do with the issue of civil marriage and breaking the rabbinical monopoly over marriage and divorce, because otherwise it will never happen, because the halakha, the Jewish halakha, is not going to recognize gay relationship. That's not going to happen. So, and Meretz is the only party that has civil marriage and the separation between state and religion in our platform, in our very, very clear vision. This is something that we believe in, that we work for every day, every year, every term since this state, this party was established. So yes, it's good to have specific politicians who say the support. But if we look at the voting chart in the last Knesset and in the future Knesset, and if we look at real actions, we find only Meretz there.
My final question for you has to do with Meretz's role in the Zionist world and the Jewish world at large. What do you think that people can do outside of the political system in Israel to promote Meretz ideals, to promote progressive ideals, etc.?
First of all, I think that the existence of you guys, the Partners for Progressive Israel, and other groups like you that have people living outside of Israel who care about Israel and who care about and who share our values in the progressive camp here in Israel, it's very important that we have this network of connections between us, that we share our ideas, that we visit each other. We see right now with the huge, you know, the Netanyahu gate with the speech in the Congress, we see how much those connections are, first of all, between the two countries, but also between ideological groups inside the parties that have a lot of shared values and ideas, and they should. Those connections are very, very important here in Israel and also outside of Israel. We must remember that Israel is the Jewish homeland for the Jewish, is the homeland for the Jewish people, and that means that our connection to the Jewish communities around the world and to other communities who share our values is very important, because we can't do it ourselves if we want to fight for the Israel we want to see, the Israel we believe in. This is a huge part of it that so many people here neglect. It's very easy to forget about it and remember about that only when there is a crisis or when there is a coalition against Iran or something like that. But the everyday life, the day-to-day shared actions is very important. This is why I think keeping the structures and the institutions like the Congress and like more institutional groups that keep this partnership alive during the year, not just when there is a crisis or when there are elections, is very, very important. Now is the time, one of those times when we are going to vote for the elections. You have to vote for the what is the name in English of the, yeah, Hatikva is the name of the
slate,
of the slate, but the how does it call the Jewish Congress,
the World Zionist Congress.
Thank you. So our slate is Hatikva. Vote for it. Help us keep this partnership alive and help us make Israel a better place.
Tamal Zandberg, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
For more on Hatikva Slate, you can go to www.hatikvaslate.net, and that should give you more information about our slate and the World Zionist Congress. And for more information on Partners for Progressive Israel, please visit our website at www.partnersforisrael.org, Twitter at Partners for Israel, and our Facebook page at Partners for Progressive Israel. This is Guy Frankel. Thank you.